This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your, what's today, Wednesday? Sounds good.
Think so.
Fan Run Radio, Russell Bear, Jake back with you here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's time for your Top 5 at 5, brought to you this afternoon by Citizens National Bank. Jake?
Number 1, Dan Mullen spoke with the media in regards to quarterback Anthony Richardson today. Mullen said he has practiced more this week than he has last and could be on track to play this Saturday against the Vols.
Of course he will.
Did not want that.
I'm having second thoughts about Titans Bear on the wall here in the studio. Now that I'm actually sitting down and looking at it, it's really it's throwing me for a loop here, Jake. I'm not going to lie.
It's intimidating you?
Yes.
It's exactly what your face is going to look like when you see it.
Looking right at me. It's just like Bear just growling at me.
Well, when he comes in and sees it, that's exactly what he's going to look like.
Haven't been that big in about 25 years.
What are we? Anthony Richardson. Of course, he's going to play and he's going to be awesome and he's going to run all over us and it's going to be maddening. I'm not being negative. I'm just doing that thing I do where I set my sights low and then anything good that happens is a pleasant surprise.
That's what I tried to do earlier in the week and got kind of carried away into the depths of a black depression. Got to be careful be rooting around down there, Russ. Get stuck.
And number 2, Athletics right-hander Chris Bassitt is set to return to the mound just over 5 weeks after being hospitalized when he was hit in the head by a 100-mile-an-hour line drive. Oakland manager Bob Melvin said Tuesday that Bassitt will come off the injured list and start Thursday's game in the series finale at home against the Seattle Mariners.
Is he going to wear one of those helmets?
I don't know.
Instead of a hat?
No.
A lot of guys do that. Remember John Olerud Bear back in the day?
Yeah.
Always wore the helmet on first base.
Yeah. I mean, it's not nearly as bad. I've talked about him before, that, you know, that crazy pitcher I lived with. And he used to tell me horror stories and said that, you know, certain batters when you're playing the SEC – would come up to the plate and he'd be on the mound. And, you know, that was back in the, he played back during the days of the, remember they had the aluminum bats that were, I mean, they're outlawed now. Those crazy bats they were using in the mid 90s. And
I like those things, man. You got that nice ping to it in college baseball back in the day.
You didn't pitch though. He said it was like taking your life into your own hands, and as soon as you release the ball, you know, split second later, I think
I can't. I can't imagine being a pitcher, man. I mean, like even just pitching to my kid, other little kids,
60 feet away.
Yeah, it's like, man, this is very dangerous.
Yeah.
And number 3, Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa will miss Sunday's game against the Las Vegas Raiders with fractured ribs. Coach Brian Flores said Wednesday, Jacoby Brissett will start against the Raiders, and the practice squad quarterback Reed Stinnett will be backing him up.
Reed Stinnett, where the hell did he play?
We think Tua might be a little fragile back there. I mean, that was probably a worry for him coming into it. He had that hip injury. Now he's got broken ribs.
Yeah, it was such a freak accident. It was mainly because Satan decided to play him for that God knows what reason when he was kind of hobbled in 200-300-pound-plus Mississippi State lineman landed on him. Well,
he's a little guy that runs And
he just took an awkward hit, and he landed
this time or the hip?
Both.
I didn't see the ribs.
This time it was just kind of an awkward tackle, and I mean, he got the L knocked out of him, but he landed directly. I think his arm was above his head, and he just came down on his side, and it just popped all those ribs. So,
just sent you guys a picture of Reed Stinnett, too. Imagine that as your starting
quarterback. Does he look like exactly what I think Reed Stinnett is going to look like?
Yes.
I'm going to say Bama bangs, brown hair, brown Bama bangs. No?
No. No. Let's see. He looks like the kind of guy that I'll go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
You know, he's the kind of guy that if your sister brings him home to the house to meet the family, you're thinking about kicking his ass.
I was going to say the
– lock up your valuables.
The guy that thinks he's above everybody because he drinks scotch instead of bourbon.
Scotch instead of – but what do you got against scotch drinkers?
I'm not – I don't have anything against them. I'm just not a scotch guy. There's a story I'll tell you about later in reference to that. But number four, Utah quarterback Charlie Brewer has entered the transfer portal after starting the past three games. Ute said Tuesday that Brewer had left the team. A transfer from Baylor opened the season as Utah's starting quarterback, and he was benched in the second half of Utah's triple overtime loss to San Diego State on Saturday.
So, grad transfer, wins the starting job, starts the first three ball games, gets benched, and then he's done. He's just out.
Like a crybaby.
Yeah.
Just quit. Call him Tate Martell, too.
I wonder what happened there. I mean, there had to have been something really strange that happened to respond like that. I don't think he would do that just because. I mean, did the backup come in and straight up take the job? Is he the starter now? I mean, he had to have gotten into it with the coach or something, right?
You would think.
Something happened.
Sounds like a Jalen Hurts situation.
Think we'll see stuff like that happen all the time now, that transferring is just rampant?
It's the new norm. We'll see it all the time.
I don't know. I don't think any of us really know what it's going to look like here in the next few years with all the new rules and whatnot with all the changes in college sports.
Going to find out who's a spoiled brat and who's not. And number five, Suriname Vice President Ronnie Brunswick, at 60 years old, became the oldest player in history to play in an international club soccer game when he appeared in a CONCACAF League match this past weekend. Brunswick started at center midfield for the whatever. I can't even say this team's name. Anyway, they lost 6-0.
Wait, take a crack. Who is it? Is it CONCACAF team? It's got to be somewhere in North or Central America.
Inter Mongotapo.
What?
Yeah.
Inter Mongo.
Yeah.
It's a nation.
By the way, when we're butchering names, you and Terry were both way off yesterday. That was a Polish team that Lamonte Turner's joined.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. You probably had all day to look at that. I guarantee you still could have pronounced that.
I bet you I could.
And to continue the story, the elder Brunswick was shown on video after the match handing money to opposing players in the dressing room. CONCACAF announced late Tuesday that it is investigating this incident.
Why would he be doing that?
That way, probably he didn't get tackled.
So they let him. Oh. So this is like Vladimir Putin playing hockey for the Russian national team. There, defenseman on the other team are like, here you go. You shoot now. We'd play no defense.
I've had somebody text me some more information about the quarterback that young Jake was maligning. Apparently, the kid was a transfer from Baylor, where he had multiple concussions, and he is retiring from football.
Oh, well, that makes sense. So,
that makes
sense. Yeah. Hope you feel good about yourself, Jake. You know, call the kid a crybaby.
You can just pivot to
you
this,
play
Jake.
Major college football.
He shouldn't have quit. He should have stuck with the team. Just say, I'm not playing anymore, but I'm going to stay. I'm going to help coach. I'm going to help the team however I can possible. I just want to. I love it so much. I want to be around my teammates and support them. I just physically cannot play the game anymore. That's how you do it, right? That's how a winner does it, Jake.
No.
No? You're just a loser?
I've had 8 concussions, Russ.
You have?
Yeah.
I don't understand. What are we arguing about right now?
I don't even know.
That is the Top 5 of 5, brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. You can check them out online at cnbtn.com. Do you have a concussion right now?
Not that I know of.
Go local, bank from anywhere. Trust CNB's Go Mobile Banking app to help you safely and confidently bank right from your home or while you're on the go. CNB, right here in your community, offering advanced security and convenience features that make mobile banking with CNB safe and easy. Citizens National Bank. All right, we're going to go open lines the rest of the show. You want to hop in, take a shot now, 865-546-8200. Anything, we have been all over the place. It has been an action-packed show, obviously talking about the Florida game this weekend, if you got thoughts on that. The Tennessee ticket revamp that we were just discussing before our number two. I've gotten several people have DM'd me in the past 10, 15 minutes and saying they've already talked to their Tennessee fund reps and that it's not a big deal and that they are perfectly fine with the changes, which is good. We've got Tennessee buying out of the Army game, the 2022 schedule announced yesterday. And Bear, I've got some Tennessee basketball recruiting information that we will get to if we have time. First, though, we go to the G3 Help Me Hotlines where Westchester is standing by. Good afternoon, Westchester.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Doing well. Thank you.
Got so much on the plate, I don't even know where to start. I guess my quick question, hopefully a quick question, is if we signed, not we, if the university signed these contracts back in February for the Akron game, why are we just now hearing about it?
That's a really good question.
Makes you wonder what else they're hiding from us, doesn't it, Westchester?
Sure does. Sure does. Guys, about the ticket thing, to me, it's been a long time coming, and the timing, like I said, the timing is definitely questionable, but I'm just looking at this as, I think what they're saying is that the thing about too many people being in the same section paying different prices, you know, like you're on an airplane, I think they're trying to get rid of that. They're going to make it more universal, and the side effect that they want from that they're not telling anybody is all the grandfather tickets that the scalpers have are going to be in the top section of the upper deck, and they're going to move those scalp tickets out of prime areas.
I'm sorry, I don't follow. They're...
Well, I mean, it stands to reason that simple math says if you pay a donation for your tickets, you'll never make your money back selling them, right? A substantial donation for your tickets.
Okay.
Over $1,000.
Theoretically, yeah.
So I think most of the scalpers' tickets that they have that they're selling are the grandfather ones that they're buying off of the same people every year that don't use them anymore, whether it be retired faculty, retired whatever, people that just don't care anymore, people whose, you know, family doesn't use them, whatever. And I think that those are the tickets that people are, you know, some of these schmoozy jerks are sitting in sections like this little, I don't know. It's hard for me to phrase exactly why I think they're doing it. And I'm actually sober. I'm sorry.
They're doing it to get more money, Westchester. And I mean,
it is about money, but I think making fans, I think moving the scalp tickets is a pretty, pretty big point of theirs too, but I could be totally crazy on that.
Yeah, I've never really thought about how they figure out where the scalped tickets are coming from, but they want to expand the donor base and bring in new donors, and they want to sell more tickets, and I mean that's what is at the root of it, and it'll be really interesting to see, you know, this time next year is if Heupel's got any traction at the NCAA stuff behind us. Is there more enthusiasm, generally speaking, around the program? And how many more tickets have they sold? And will this blow up in Danny White's face, or will he be the hero who figured out how to maximize Tennessee football ticket revenues where other athletics directors here have failed?
Guys, if we're going to if we're going to get rid of the umbrella thing, does that mean each sport has to stand on its own, or can football still, you know, I mean, are you telling me you're going to get enough baseball donations to pay for the sport? I'm just confused as to how that's going to work out.
You're saying if you have the football tickets, you're going to have to do another donation to get the baseball tickets. And so theoretically, you're going to be more money there. Like, we're still all going to be hyped up about Tony Vitello and Tennessee baseball, right? So
right, but if I'm paying $1,000 and I'm getting decent seats to basketball and decent seats to, you know, decent seats being like lower, you know, bottom 15 rows of the 300 on even in the corner in basketball, and I'm sitting in I'm in the corner in the end zone and upstairs in football, but now you're telling me I got to fork out, you know, $750 for each of those. I'm going to be
It's a hot ticket. I mean, we've got a really good baseball program, a really good basketball program. Do you want to go or not? I think this is the calculus they're performing, is that, yes, people are going to want to go, and they're going to pay those prices and pay no more, and that's going to positively affect their bottom line. And it seems like a pretty safe bet to me, but you never know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, maybe the year we're going to go 5-7 isn't the year to do it, though, huh? I don't know. We'll see what happens. In theory, it makes a lot of sense to have this section or this area is the yellow section, and this price, and the orange section is this price, and you want to sit here, this is what you're going to pay, and it makes it really easy, I think, and really transparent, you know, theoretically more fair across the board. We'll just, I'm like everyone else, I don't have the answer for what you do with the grandfather tickets, but I think at some point, you know, if you're talking about grandfather tickets, I think at some point eventually you got to say, so sorry, they got to go. But I know it's not going to be a popular opinion, and people aren't going to want to pay it. But if you've been riding,
it might be more popular than you think, because I've heard from several people who are grandfathered already who said, yeah, it's not that, we get it. It's not 1984 anymore. Like, it's going to, these should cost more. Westchester, thanks. We got to take a quick time out. Heath, hang right there. You'll have the floor when we continue. A couple lines available if you want to jump on. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. This time tomorrow, we will be joined by the head baseball coach at the University of Tennessee, one Anthony Vitello. Looking forward to talking to Coach. It's been a minute, Bear, since we've visited with him. We'll have to get a jam or not a jam ready to roll to.
I'm working on one even as we speak.
All right. Looking forward to that tomorrow. And fall ball starts next month for those guys as well. So we'll be able to talk about his new look roster. What does he do for an encore after that magical 2021 season that we just got through witnessing and enjoying? Let's get a phone call. Heath is up next. Good afternoon, Heath. You're on the drive.
Hey, Russ, Bear, Jake. How you guys doing today?
Good, man. What's up?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just getting off work here. But I did want to ask you guys, am I overreacting for being as mad as I am about canceling that Army game next year?
I was kind of disappointed about it, too. And I've seen a lot of people on social media, guys, say, oh, it's the right thing to do. It's a no-win situation. Like, we had to do it and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, like, I get it. Like, those teams are hard to prepare for. And if you lose, it's embarrassing. And if you win, you don't get any credit for it. But I think it's always a bad look to buy out at games. I hated it when we did it with North Carolina. And it feels like, did we do it with somebody else? Did we buy out of Oregon again, Bear, or something like that a couple of years ago? It's just, it's lame, man. It's you signed up for the game, play it. That's what I say. But
I agree. I think, honestly, I would rather play and lose than to cancel that game the year ahead, because it just looks like a very well, if we were app only, I could say what I'm really wanting to say, but it's a chicken move, so in my opinion, Russ. And you guys might have also talked about this earlier today. I'm kind of tuning in a little late today, but What would you guys think would, how close do we need to keep it Saturday to, not really to consider it a success, I don't want to word it quite like that, but to consider it a moral victory, how close do we need to keep the game Saturday?
I mean, go ahead and say it. It is success, moral victory. Everybody said, oh, we shouldn't be about moral victories. Yes, we should. Moral victories are perfectly fine for a team that went 3-7 last year and is on an NCAA self-investigation or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. Beat the spread. You keep it under 20. Like, if it's a two-score game or less, I will be very encouraged about the direction of the program coming out of the game.
Absolutely. I agree with you there. And I actually heard an interesting statistic here recently. I can't remember how long it goes back, but apparently it's been several years since Florida's actually covered the spread against us. And I'm kind of anxious to see how that goes. But I think after last year, I think we've all learned not to bet on that cover.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us lost our butts on that one.
Learned my lesson. Learned my lesson there as well, Heath. What is it right now? Is it still 20.5?
Wasn't it?
Last I saw it was.
Well.
All right. Well, hopefully. I think if we can keep it within 10, I'd be happy. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm trying to be optimistic, but.
Well, to me, it's about, look, yeah, I just don't want to get embarrassed. If it's 56-3, I mean, that's going to, that will rightfully shake everybody's faith in Josh Heupel and what he's trying to do. So I think he needs to move the ball, put some points on the board, show what he showed the first three games. At least show that, hey, I can scheme guys open. We play aggressive on defense. We have a defined style of play. We have an identity. Show me that, and I'll be okay. If you just don't have the horses to do it the way you want to do it, I can live with that as long as, again, I'm just looking forward to Missouri and South Carolina. Those are the huge games to me coming up after this. Those are the games we should have a realistic chance to win. I just don't know how realistic your chance to win is this weekend. So approaching it different, and it sucks. It sucks that that's the approach, but hey, man, what are you going to do? That's the approach.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's only two instances, in my lifetime that I can remember, a Tennessee win over Florida. That is, was it 2005 when Will Hoyt hit the 50-yard field goal after missing the extra point?
2004, yes.
2004, thank you. And, of course, 2016. So, I don't know. I just love to see it happen. But did I hear you guys say that Florida's going to have a backup quarterback playing this weekend?
Well, I don't know if he's a backup. I mean, Emory Jones is the starter, and then Anthony Richardson was technically the backup, but – in the first two games, he looked every bit as good, if not better, than Emory Jones. Now, obviously, Emory Jones played well for them last week. Richardson has a pulled hammy, so he didn't play in the game through injury. But Dan Mullen's been saying that he should be good to go this week. So we might see two quarterbacks from the Gators Saturday.
Oh, that's great. Well,
oh, man.
I appreciate the phone call today, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Heath. Head up, boys. It's only Wednesday. We got a long way to go.
So the spread has actually went down. Now we're only 18.5 point underdog.
Hey!
And it wasn't Oregon.
Coming in on UT.
And it wasn't Oregon that was the canceled series. Ohio State actually canceled the series. Supposed to be.
Ohio State didn't want any. They saw what Jeremy Pruitt was building. They're like, no, thank you.
No, this would have been during the Derek Dooley years.
Okay.
Yeah.
They saw those orange pants and were like, no, man, we don't want any of that. We don't want to deal with the juggernaut. We don't want Sal Sinceri coming up here running that 3-4 defense.
They got big problems up there in Giants where the New York Giants where all the failed UT coaches have gone.
That Joe Judge staff is already beginning to feel like one of the all-time great failures in NFL coaching staff histories.
Yeah, it does not look good.
865.
Not good, Bob.
546-8200, 546-8200. Your number to get on the show here this afternoon. The 90s have it for the cartoon poll.
Of course they do.
As it should.
That's because my fellow Gen Xers are all working and probably not able. I imagine Gen X listens to a lot of, they listen to our show on a podcast. I'm voting polls.
No. You got that wrong. They listen to our show on radio. They're the only ones that listen on 1340 and 105.7 FM anymore, but they're all driving home from their jobs and don't have access to their phones, and even if they do, they're probably not on Twitter to vote.
All right, fine.
That's my read of the situation.
You remember Gen X, aren't you, Russ?
I'm technically a millennial. I'm like the first year. Millennials are like 1980 to – I'm July 1980.
So like 90 – what is it, 96, 97?
I'm a man without a generation bear. I just don't identify – I don't identify with your kind, the Gen Xers. Don't identify with the millennials. I'm an individual man. Got my own thing.
All right.
How does that strike you?
You missed out.
Missed out on what? Eight tracks
for the greatest
gas lines. I mean,
original music.
Lead paint.
No, that's not true. It's not true. My people gave you Nirvana.
No, they didn't. Those guys. I mean, hell, I think Novacek and Cobain were borderline boomers, weren't they?
Yeah, I guess that's true. So you're claiming that Gen X is Nirvana Gen X?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I think about
the
it.
Generation killed hair well, bands.
We're having two different conversations
here. You're wearing makeup.
You're talking about the cartoons from the – you want to claim the cartoons from the 70s, but the music from the 90s. If you're going to claim the cartoons from the 70s, you got to take disco too, buddy. I hate to break it to you. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, you got the Bee Gees,
bro. I'll take the music from the 70s. We'll skip the 80s and the 90s. Music in the 80s sucked for the most part.
That's not true. That's not true. Some good stuff in there.
AC/DC had a ton of albums in the 80s.
Well, even the new wave stuff, which I know you're ripping on, show me some Tears for Fears, man. Bring me the...
I was more specifically going after like hair bands.
Hey, Appetite for Destruction?
They weren't a hair band.
Sure they were.
They were all
watch
the trash.
Go back and watch the GNR band. Yeah, they all had the poofed up hair. They were a good hair band. They were a hair band, but they were a good hair band. I mean, just
they weren't a hair band.
Sure they were.
No, they weren't.
Sure they were. Slash, Duff, all of them had the hair and the makeup. This is one of the first videos I saw. The first time I saw the Guns N' Roses video for Sweet Child of Mine, I thought Axl Rose was a woman. He's all skinny, and he's wearing, like, the tank top. You can see his arms. He's got makeup on and long hair. He looked like a chick. Not an attractive chick.
He's not skinny anymore.
He looked like a lady. Well, yeah, now he looks like a dude. Now he looks like a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Folks, NFL is back. No offense to the Steelers fans out there. FanDuel Sportsbook wants to help you get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week this season. And tomorrow night is a great opportunity to give it a try when the Carolina Panthers take on the Houston Texans. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay with three legs or more. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. So head on over to FanDuel. Click on Carolina and Houston and build your same game parlay. Perhaps you want to go with Carolina and the money line. That would seem like a safe one this week. Maybe you want to go Darnold passing yards. Maybe you want to go over on the total points for the first quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, whatever. Just set it up however you want it. Whatever you think is going to happen, and then sit back and enjoy the game. A same game parlay takes just a regular NFL Thursday night game and like turns it into the Super Bowl, man. It's so much fun. Go check it out. You get that $10 risk-free bet with the FanDuel and the same game parlay. Lock it in today so you could be ready to go tomorrow. And if you're new, claim your 30-1 odds on either team to win next week's Monday night game between Philly and Dallas. Just sign up with our promo code DRIVE1, and if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. That's promo code DRIVE1. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on both mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Quick break. We're back with more after this. Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Been told that I am, and I like this, I'm a Xennial Bear. Xennial.
Oh, you're an in-betweener.
X-E-N-N-I-A-L. We are a micro-generation. I like that. Micro-generation, born during the cusp years of Gen Xers and Millennials, i.e. between 1977 and 1983, or when the original Star Wars trilogy was released. Xennials experienced...
You're married to
a Gen Xer,
though, right?
Huh?
You're married to a Gen Xer,
no, she's,
right?
She's in here, too. She's 79. Xennials experienced an analog childhood and a digital adulthood. We possess both Gen X cynicism and millennial optimism and drive. Ah. Ah. Uh-huh. Do you think millennials are generally optimistic?
I wouldn't.
Just don't put me with Gen Z.
I think the millennials are more cynical than... I don't think the Gen Xers are...
So it goes Gen X, millennials, Gen Z, and then what?
I don't know. What's after that? Alpha. These kids.
I mean, if we're going by what they do during hurricanes, it'd be Generation Alpha.
I've got some Tennessee basketball recruit information for you. You want to hear it, Bear? You want to hear
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
I've got some good names to throw at you. Tennessee on the road this week. The boys were in Louisville yesterday to see 2023 prospects Caleb Glenn. And are you ready for this one? George Washington III. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know you want George Washington III, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You want the president on your team. The founding father.
I mean, we come out and like that Valley Forge outfit that the General Washington wore.
He's the perfect player for Rick Barnes because he cannot tell a lie. You think that was a weird story? Or why would you chop down the cherry tree, young George Washington? Like, why? Just for fun? Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Well, here you were asking why we were just randomly throwing axes as kids. George Washington chops down cherry trees.
Well, yeah, but that's like in the, 1750s?
Earlier than that.
I mean, yeah. I would expect that axes are just lying around randomly. It would take a long time to chop down a cherry tree, too, especially for a little kid. Like, why would you? I don't know. George Washington III of Louisville. Louisville, Kentucky, Christian Academy of Louisville. 4-star, according to 247sports.com. The number 42 overall player in the country. 6'2", 165-pound combo guard. El Presidente. Already my favorite recruit of that class. And then Caleb Glenn, also of Louisville, 6'6", 200, the number 39 overall player in that class. Pretty cool. Tennessee also checking in. This is according to Grant Ramey over at 247, checking in with B.J. Edwards at Catholic. And Rick Barnes expected to be in Missouri today to see Julian Phillips, the 2022 five-star power forward who is scheduled to take an official visit to Tennessee this weekend.
Be nice. We need big guys.
Yeah, this guy's long. I don't know if he's big. 6'8", 200, according to 247.
Ooh, no, he's skinny.
But he is the number 15 player in the country this year. So go ahead and sign him up.
Absolutely. We're in rare air now.
Well, it's weird.
Should that be a lesson to us as football fans? I mean, look how quickly the worm turned for us in basketball once we got the right what, Russ?
The right coach. He needed 2 years to establish his foundation, and he, too, took over his program in the midst of NCAA uncertainty, thanks to Donnie Tindall's reign of terror.
God, that was a pretty rough roster he inherited, wasn't it?
It was very rough. I mean, yeah, Kevin.
He was a kid that used to, like, when he'd shoot it, it was like
he'd throw
the basketball against a backboard as hard as he could.
Oh. Armani Moore had a rough shot, but I liked him.
Like
he was a fun player.
God, who was the kid I'm thinking of? Remember the joke was I wanted him, I thought he, after he got out of UT, he could go down to like Huntsville and throw stuff at the aircraft windshields down there at the test facility.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You have lost me completely.
God, what was that kid's name?
I don't know, man.
This would have been the 2015 roster, right?
Yeah, if you name his name, I'll know who it is. He had the worst shot ever. Super flat and really, really hard. God, I can't think of it. Sorry.
Don't worry about
Derek,
it.
Derek, was it Derek?
Oh, yes, Derek Reese.
Derek
oh,
Reese.
Oh, jeez.
The backboard breaker.
Where have you gone, Derek Reese?
I guarantee, I doubt Derek Reese is playing basketball for money right now.
That's go out terrible. What are you doing? Just ripping a former Vol for no reason.
I know, I love him, but man, I mean, you know.
No, you don't love him. Just stop that, dude. Like, why would you say that? You're going to rip him. Go ahead and rip him.
Well, I mean, it was funny. I was like, good God, man. Somebody teach this kid how to shoot.
He was not offensively skilled.
I liked Armani Moore.
He was a nice player. Remember those blocks? He was good for one of those just out of nowhere. He was great at coming off the weak side and just swatting your shot, putting it in the 15th row.
Did we ever get close to making the tournament with that bunch?
Was Tindall's team wasn't terrible, were they? They were
15-15.
15-15.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
they were a bunch of men. I'll tell you what, if it was the end of the game, we were down. He could draw up.
It was fun to watch too.
Shot.
He had that matchup zone thing going on.
He had what was that guy? His assistant or the not assistant, but his basketball ops guy.
He's like Donnie Tindall was like ugly Will Wade.
He had no neck.
Not that Will Wade is a handsome man.
He wears oversized shirts.
About that. Ripping on Donnie Tindall today.
Medium.
Oh, you're talking about the dude, Big Gulp.
Yeah. Justin.
Justin Phelps.
Yeah.
Who's still like, he follows me on Twitter. He's a good dude, man.
Yeah, absolutely is.
Scott.
Donnie Tindall was a good coach. He just was horrible at cheating.
Where do we find these guys?
That's what happens when you vet somebody for 5 minutes.
I mean, we should put Tindall. I feel like Donnie Tindall and Jeremy Pruitt should rent one of those old Cadillac convertibles and go on a cross-country road trip and just film it.
No, get them in an El Camino.
Whatever. Just get them on some sort of long road trip together with cameras.
Oh, here we go. Here's the picture.
Watch the hilarity ensue. You're pulling up pictures to send to us on the radio now. Like, it's just the three of us doing the show.
Well, no, I'll let you tweet it out. You got more followers than I do. This infamous picture. Somebody just sent it to me.
Quick break. The Drive continues. Speak now, forever hold your peace. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. 546-8200 if you want to hop on the G3 Help Me hotlines. Back to wrap things up after this. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell Bear, Jake, cruising along with you on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. All right, Bear, did you see Conor McGregor throwing out the first pitch at Wrigley yesterday?
Oh, God.
I heard about it. Did it not go well?
Oh, man.
No.
He's left-handed, and he threw it probably 30 feet wide right of home plate. I will give him this. You know, he's such a confident guy. Like, he went up – clearly he's never played baseball before. He went up from the mound, and he threw it as hard as he could. You know, most people who don't have much baseball experience probably get up there and just kind of loft it. It's like, man, I'm just trying not to hop it. I'm trying not to – yeah, he reared back and threw it as hard as he could.
What are my Cubs doing?
It's right up there. Was it 50 Cent who did the worst one a couple of years ago? 50 – Scent was pretty terrible, right?
Dr. Fauci had the worst one.
Fauci was
Fauci's like 103, though.
McGregor is in the conversation for one of the worst ever. But
he threw it pretty hard.
No.
I mean, no. He threw it as hard as he could. I mean, he's not, you know, he doesn't have that arm is built for punching people in the face, not throwing baseballs.
He's not really good at that anymore.
He also did this. He did the take me out to the ball game. And this is why I don't think he has much baseball experience, because he's clearly either he's the worst singer in the history of the world, or he's never heard take me out to the ball game, because he doesn't
There's
know
no way he's heard it.
He doesn't know the tune. Sing. Well, you listen and be the judge.
They're known for fighting and getting drunk.
You listen and be the judge.
What's up, Chicago? Let's go, Chicago Cubs! I'm here with Mateo, here with Kieran. We're going to sing the song. Let's go!
We're going to sing the song.
One, two, three!
Tree!
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd.
Yeah.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. So let's root.
The only thing I could imagine that would be worse than that would be Wes and Franklin doing it.
Oh!
a little flat, Russ.
I honestly, that to me is he's never heard the song before, right? He doesn't even know what the tune is.
Get that man out of my stadium and don't ever let him come back.
Yeah.
Golly.
Has there been a worse take me out to the ball game at Wrigley?
I don't know. What's the worst national anthem? Roseanne?
Yeah, that one was pretty bad.
No, Carl Lewis was the worst.
I don't know. I
mean, look
it
up.
She didn't even finish it.
She was on purpose. Carl Lewis was doing it earnestly. Like, he thought he could really sing, and it was brutal. Northwestern is doing a stadium renovation. Ryan Field is the name of their place. And Bear, they have gotten a very generous gift from the Ryan family, Patrick and Shirley Ryan. I'm not sure what they do, but it's enough to name the field after them. They're renovating the Northwestern football stadium. How much do you think this very generous gift, what is a very generous gift entail for you as far as a college football stadium gift?
It would have to be at least 25 mil.
A little higher.
50?
A little higher.
Wow. 100.
$480 million.
For Northwestern?
You build a brand new stadium for that.
That's just a about as dumb gets. I mean, they're not even good at football.
They should be after
no
this.
No offense, Coach Ekular. That's his alma mater.
Really?
You wear that? I'm pretty sure.
No, he went. No. You got the wrong purple, bro. He didn't go to Northwestern. He went to K-State.
Oh, that's
you
right.
You thought that dude went to Northwestern? You are aware that Northwestern is one of the most prestigious academic institutions.
Are you trying to say that Coach Ekular
yes.
is smart enough to go to Northwestern?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you.
He is. He was a face painter.
He would. He would back me up 100% on that. It's not even
how
an
cool,
insult.
How cool would it be if he'd paint his face up before a game like he used to back in his
he
playing
might
days?
Have to if he keeps headbutting dudes with a helmet on and bleeding all over the place. You have to do something
wonder,
to cover it up.
I wonder if that's why, like, Coach Heupel, if Heupel's, like, after that deal, is like, hey, you need to stand over here near me, man. Because remember, I noticed that he's always around Heupel now on the sidelines. That's my theory. I bet Coach Heupel's like, got to keep this guy close. He's a loose cannon. Although I will say his units
is very good.
Are incredible.
Special
teams
are good.
Backers.
Well, and you got to have that guy for a team that lacked enthusiasm on the field so much last year. You got to have the hype man.
Yeah.
You got to have Trooper Taylor. You got to have Scott Cochran. You got to have a guy on the sideline that is just going to get everybody jacked and make sure they stay that way for the entire ball game.
Well, that, and you've got to have, there's got to be at least every good.
Yep.
Brown or Matt, there's always one coach that everybody's kind of afraid of. He's definitely crazier than everybody else.
Folks, tomorrow, back by popular demand, the CGP, Christopher Gabriel, will join the show. He's got thoughts on Tennessee, Florida. Be sure to tune in for that 3:15 when he joins us on the show. And Tony Vitello in hour number three is going to be an excellent Thursday edition of The Drive. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Bear.
Thank you, Russ.
Welcome, Russell.
Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Overtime headed your way next. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.